Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
First, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said Wednesday his country has developed nuclear weapons of a size small enough for a ballistic missile. Mario Ritter has the report.
This is the first time the North Korean leader has made such a claim. The State Korean Central News Agency reported Wednesday that Kim met with nuclear scientists and technicians. It said they discussed research conducted to tip various types of tactical and strategic ballistic missiles with nuclear warheads. The agency also published photographs that appear to show the North Korean leader visiting a factory where the warheads were made. The authenticity of the photos could not be independently confirmed. A number of military experts have said they question the North Korean claim. U.S. military leaders have said in the past that North Korea has the right connections and technology to develop a small nuclear device. However, the country has yet to demonstrate that ability. The claim comes as North Korea faces intense international pressure because of its recent nuclear and missile tests. North Korea's public diplomacy, or lack of it, has only increased the pressure. Last week, North Korea answered new United Nations sanctions by firing projectiles into the sea. Kim also threatened to carry out a nuclear strike against South Korea and the United States. Brian Myers studies North Korean propaganda. He wrote the 2010 book, The Cleanest Race: How North Koreans See Themselves and Why It Matters. He said the North's confrontational public relations campaigns go back to the country's founder, Kim Il-sung. He came to power with the help of the Soviet Union at the end of World War II. Myers is an associate professor of international studies at Dongseo University in South Korea. He said North Korea uses threats and warlike language as a way to get the U.S. government to react.
So this rhetoric is the North's way of saying to Washington, you guys better keep us on the front burner because we are just as ready to fight and die as your enemies in the Middle East are.
In recent years, North Korea's language has become stronger and more bellicose. Myers says that is partly because more information from overseas is entering the North.
In the old days, the regime could make very peaceful noises to the outside world and make very bellicose, racist noises in what I call megaphone propaganda, the sort of thing that North Koreans get in their farms and factories. But now, as more and more North Koreans access outside sources of information, as you just said, the regime is under much more pressure to speak in one voice, and that means making much the same warlike and often racist noises in export propaganda that it has always made on the home front.
Myers says North Korea's warlike statements are meant to increase a sense of national pride. Outside the country, they are designed to increase anti-American feelings in South Korea and other countries. This use of language may be counterproductive. However, Myers believes this rhetoric reflects the uncompromising position of the North Korean leadership.
Those are ultranationalists who are genuinely outraged by the presence of American troops in South Korea, who remain genuinely committed to reunifying the peninsula. And, you know, this is the problem with ultranationalists everywhere, is that it's very difficult for them to put themselves in the shoes of other nations, of other races, and has great difficulty presenting itself in a sophisticated way to them.
I'm Mario Ritter.
Next, Dorothy Gundy brings us the latest update in the race to become the next United States president.
Presidential candidates Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders won primary elections in Michigan on Tuesday. Sanders' victory in the Democratic Party primary in Michigan was a surprise or upset against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Many polls showed Clinton a big favorite to defeat Sanders. Sanders, a senator from Vermont, got 50% of the vote in Michigan. Clinton received 48% of the vote. Sanders said the victory in Michigan means his political revolution is strong across America. Sanders had support from minorities and young voters, according to pollsters. Clinton won the primary held Tuesday in the southern state of Mississippi. Clinton has the support of 1,221 delegates, according to the Associated Press delegate tracker. Sanders has 571. A total of 2,383 Democratic delegates are needed to be nominated. Republican Party candidate Donald Trump widened his lead for the GOP nomination with victories in Michigan, Mississippi, and Hawaii. Trump won in Michigan by receiving 37% of the vote. He won the support of 25 delegates. Ted Cruz, a senator from Texas, won the Idaho primary. Cruz finished second to Trump in the Michigan primary. The state primary to watch for the GOP candidates next week is the Florida primary. Republican candidate Marco Rubio is a senator from Florida. He predicted victory in his home state. 99 delegates are at stake in the Florida primary. I believe with all my heart that the winner of the Florida primary next Tuesday will be the nominee of the Republican Party, Rubio told supporters. Trump also predicted victory in Florida. He called Florida his second home. Trump is ahead in the polls over Rubio. Trump has won 458 delegates overall. Cruz is in second place with 359 delegates. A total of 1,237 GOP delegates are needed for nomination. I'm Dorothy Gundy. We'll be right back.
China reduced the amount of carbon dioxide the country poured into the atmosphere in 2015 by burning less coal. Jim Dresbeck has more.
Air pollution decreased in China in 2015 after it used less coal. Coal use fell almost 4% last year. By burning less coal, the Chinese cut carbon dioxide in the air by 2.5%. Carbon dioxide is a major part of air pollution, also called greenhouse gases. It is released into the air when coal is burned. China is very serious about tackling air pollution, said Lori Milliverta of Greenpeace, an environment advocacy group. 20 years of economic growth made China the world's top producer of air pollution and greenhouse gases. The country has moved to hydro, nuclear, and solar power, and that has cut coal use. I'm Jim Dresbeck.
The killer whale Tilikum gained international attention when he killed his SeaWorld trainer in 2010. Now, SeaWorld says Tilikum is sick with a bacterial infection. Bruce Alpert has more.
A captive whale in a water park in Florida that killed his trainer 6 years ago is reportedly in grave health. The killer whale, Tilikum, appears to have a serious bacterial infection. That information comes from SeaWorld, which has housed the 12,000-pound whale at its Orlando, Florida park for the past 23 years. In 2010, the whale drew international attention when he killed his trainer, Dorn Brancho, age 40. The whale has been linked to two other deaths. In 1991, at a Canadian water park, Tilikum was one of three killer whales who dragged trainer Kelty Byrne, 21, underwater, according to news reports. In 1999, at SeaWorld Orlando, Daniel Dukes, 27, was found dead over Tilikum's back. Police said he snuck into the whale tank, news reports said. On Tilikum's current condition, this is what SeaWorld said. Our teams are treating him with care and medication for what we believe is a bacterial infection in his lungs. However, the suspected bacteria is very resistant to treatment, and a cure for his illness has not been found. The statement added, Tilikum's behavior has become increasingly lethargic. SeaWorld also released a video that included a statement from SeaWorld veterinarian Scott Gerhardt. I wish I could say I was tremendously optimistic about Tilikum and his future, but he has a disease which is chronic and progressive, and at some point might cause his death, Gerhardt said. The SeaWorld blog estimates Tilikum is 35 years old. That is near the high end of the average life expectancy for male killer whales, SeaWorld said. After the death of Tilikum's trainer 6 years ago, SeaWorld and Tilikum were subject of a 2013 documentary, Blackfish. It featured interviews with former trainers and whale experts who said some killer whales become depressed and aggressive in captivity. SeaWorld has been under pressure to stop whale shows from groups such as People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. The male killer whales are also known as orcas. SeaWorld announced last year that starting in 2017, whale shows in its San Diego, California park will focus more on the species' natural behaviors. It said the new shows will give information about how people can make a difference for orcas in the wild. SeaWorld did not say what changes, if any, would be made for whale shows in its other two parks, in Orlando and San Antonio, Texas. PETA said SeaWorld immediately should move its whales to sanctuaries where they could enjoy a more natural life. I'm Bruce Alpert.
An American court has ordered a hotel to pay $55 million in damages connected to an online video. Katie Weaver tells us more.
Erin Andrews is a broadcaster of sports news. She was secretly videotaped, without any clothes on, at a hotel in Nashville, Tennessee, in 2008. The video was posted on the internet the next year. A man, Michael David Barrett, was found guilty of stalking in connection with the act. A court sentenced him to 30 months in prison in 2010. However, the video continued to circulate online. In 2015, Andrews took legal action against Nashville Marriott Hotel, its partners, and Barrett. She sought $75 million from the defendants. Her lawyers said Marriott employees had informed Barrett that Andrews was staying at the hotel. They said he asked to have the room next to Andrews. Employees gave him that room. He shot the video through a hole he made in a door that connected to her room. He said he released the video online for money. Andrew's lawyer said the hotel should have told her of Barrett's request. They said Marriott should not have placed the man in the room next to her. Andrews testified during the 2-week trial. She said she felt so ashamed that the video of her naked was on the internet. Erin Andrews is expected to receive far less than the $55 million awarded by the Tennessee court. Barrett is responsible for half the amount, which he does not have. The hotel and partners will appeal the amount and almost certainly be able to settle for lower damages. Some experts have estimated that Andrews will end up with no more than $6 million. I'm Katie Weaver.
The Facebook Like button was one of the social media website's most popular features. But now, Facebook has added more emojis that users can click on to quickly express their feelings about a post. The 5 new buttons, called reactions, are love, haha, wow, sad, and angry. Facebook has been working on the feature for more than a year. The company looked at how people commented on posts and used emojis to share their feelings. The company tested some possible reaction emojis with some users. It said it found most people like the addition. Reactions are available both on the Facebook website and on the app. Right now, users can add reactions to posts, photos, and videos, but not comments. To use reactions on Facebook, just click the Like button. All of the possible reactions appear. Choose one and click on it. There is also a video that explains how to use reactions if additional help is needed. If you do not see reactions in the Facebook app, close the app and then reopen. Reactions should appear. Now Facebook shows the top three reactions people have used on a post, photo, or video. Clicking on reactions show how many people posted them and who those people are. The new feature helps users react more sensitively to the nature of posts, especially when they report unwelcome news. Now friends can share sadness with a sad reaction. You can also go beyond like and add the heart reaction to show your love. Might romances start with a love reaction? The new feature may be helpful during the current U.S. presidential election season. However, reactions could also create confusion. For example, a user might post about a candidate with a political position he or she disagrees with. A Facebook friend might react with the angry emoji. Is that friend angry about the candidate, the position, or the person who posted? I'm Marcia James.
This is What's Trending Today. English record producer George Martin is credited with helping the Beatles become famous.
How could I dance with another? Oh, since I saw her standing there.
He is the only producer that would offer them a recording contract after they had been rejected by many others. He helped John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr produce 20 number one songs during the 1960s. Martin died on March 8th. The news came out on the morning of March 9th. He was 90 years old. According to an obituary in the Washington Post, Martin studied piano while he was a boy in London before World War II. He entered the Navy during the war, then studied music and oboe. He started his career with the British Broadcasting Corporation, working in the music library. In 1950, he went to work for the record company EMI. 12 years later, he met the Beatles, and a short time after, he helped them create their first big hit called Please Please Me in early 1963.
A song called Please Please Me.
McCartney and Starr used Twitter to send messages expressing their respect for Martin and their sadness about his death. McCartney said, "The world has lost a truly great man, and he was like a second father to me." He posted a photo of the two of them from a recording session and referred people to a longer blog post on his website. Starr posted a message saying, "Thank you for all your love and kindness, George. Peace and love." It also included a photo of the Beatles with Martin when they were just getting started.
Martin produced the famous Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album. Other songs that Martin recorded with the Beatles were Can't Buy Me Love, Yesterday, Hey Jude, Penny Lane, and Eleanor Rigby. Lots of people expressed their feelings about Martin and the Beatles after hearing the news. Martin was the top trending topic on Twitter, with almost 300,000 mentions. British Prime Minister David Cameron called Martin a giant of music. John Lennon's son, Sean, said, "I'm so gutted. I don't have many words." Gutted is a British English slang word meaning sad and disappointed. American record producer Quincy Jones, famous for working with Michael Jackson, called Martin his musical brother. Mark Ronson, another British music producer who earned his fame more recently by working with Amy Winehouse and Bruno Mars, said, "We will never stop living in the world you helped create." And that's what's trending today. I'm Dan Friedel.
Democratic and Republican lawmakers will join President Barack Obama on his trip to Cuba later in March. Obama invited members of both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party to join him in Cuba. Both Democrats and Republicans have accepted the invitation from the president. Patrick Leahy, the Senate's longest-serving member, and Jeff Flake, a Republican from Arizona, accepted the president's invitation. Flake and Leahy are part of a group of 46 senators going to Cuba. "Excited to do it," Flake said about the trip to Cuba. "I'm glad the president is going. This is a big deal. It will be good for the Cuban people." One senator, Bill Nelson of Florida, did not accept the invitation. His state is home to many Cuban Americans. Those Cuban Americans blame Cuba for many human rights violations. "They invited me to go along, and I cannot go," Nelson said. "I don't want any attendance by me as Florida's senior senator that would in any way be interpreted that you overlook the human rights abuses of the Castro regime in Cuba. It's not time for me to go." Top members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee were invited but will not attend. Republican Senator Bob Corker and Democratic Senator Ben Cardin will not travel to Cuba. Senators not traveling with the president will be watching closely how the human rights issue will be handled. "There's a lot of potential in Cuba," Cardin said, "but they still are not doing what is necessary on human rights. But through U.S. involvement, we will be able to see greater change." Obama's trip to Cuba will mark the first time a sitting U.S. president has visited the island in nearly 90 years. And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.